Is 1,000 games significant for you? Is that something that you look at as a true accomplishment? Is it just a number? How do you look at 1,000 games?
Well, I, for sure, it's something that for sure I'm proud of. I think it's not my main focus on a day-to-day basis through my career. Obviously, I've always approached things just day by day. Things change fast in the hockey world, and you know, it's just sticking with it, and now that the numbers approached, you know, just more looking back on everything and yeah, being proud and of what I've been able to do, but also thinking about all the people that have supported me and helped me to get here throughout my career, because you need that support and you need people to have your back, and so it's a nice trip down memory lane as well. So for sure, it's something that I'll enjoy, and when I'm all done, it's something I'll be really proud of.
How's the, like, that's a lot of games. That's a lot of wear and tear. How's the body feel? How do you feel knowing that here you are? You're at the millennium mark.
Yeah, I feel good. For sure, there's days, you know, like anybody, you get out of bed and you're not feeling so hot. But I've been pretty fortunate injury-wise, and I think, you know, I've always tried to. I was told early in my career that, you know, our number one asset as athletes or hockey players is your body. Once your body goes and you start having problems with things with your body, then, you know, everything else is going to start to slip. You know, mentally, that's another obstacle, but I feel like I've had the right approach and with the way to go about things, you know, through ups and downs, especially now where I'm at, you know, I kind of know how to approach things. So, you know, I've been very fortunate with the injuries, but at the same time, I think making sure I take care of myself, you know, even early on in my career, I had some guys that taught me that really went a long way to to feel as good as I do right now. You know, to still be playing in the best league in the world when the game's only gotten faster and faster.
So take me back to the start of the career, because, you know, you started as a Toronto Maple Leaf. You're a Toronto guy. You got an opportunity to play for your hometown team. I mean, I can't imagine that at any point you thought that you'd be getting to 1,000 games with the Calgary Flames when you first started. Because that was kind of like a dream come true, being a Toronto boy playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I grew up in Toronto, and I was a huge Leafs fan. So it kind of, you know, that in that sense, it kind of all just happened. And my draft year was in Toronto, so the draft is at the Air Canada Centre, and I was able to have, you know, a ton of family and friends there support me. You know, so it was a surprise that I went to Toronto. I'd never, you know, I was ranked, you know, late first round. I ended up slipping to the late second round. But I never had an interview with Toronto, and I had interviews with probably 17 other teams before that draft when you do the interview process. So it was a shock when Toronto picked me too. So it's just kind of, everything was a little bit surreal there the first few months, even the first year. You know, and it came quick, and before you know it, I was playing as a regular, you know, for the team I grew up watching, and it was special. I've enjoyed every day in this league, and obviously to start, you know, playing on the team that I grew up watching and idolizing the players, you know, that was really special.
So take me through that day in January of 2010, because I remember it vividly from this standpoint, because, you know, Dion Phaneuf's getting traded. He was a huge name in this city, and the team was in a little bit of a tailspin at the time, and it was just a massive shock when that happened. But what about from your end? How do you remember? Because you came over with three of your teammates and joined the Flames. How do you remember that day or 24 hours or whatever it was?
Yeah, it was crazy. I think, you know, I was pretty comfortable in Toronto at that point. I had come off a 55-point year. I was playing with Nick Antropov and Alex Ponner as our first line, so we were obviously in rebuild mode for us to be the first line. But, you know, we brought in Phil Kessel at the start of that year, and then I was playing with him, and we had a really tough start to the season as a team, and then we picked it up once Kess came back from injury, and you know, we had some great chemistry, me, him, and me, Kessel, and Ponikarowski, and things are going really well. But in all that, I knew that I was a free agent at the end of that year, and you know, so it's always in the back of the head that I might be on my way out here with the way things changing, or, you know, the way our lineup's playing, maybe they keep me. But, you know, so I thought maybe if I was going to get traded, it'd be at the trade deadline. So it just kind of, you know, you're just playing the games, trying to do everything you can to keep improving and help the team win. And it was an off day. And it's kind of funny because, you know, we played Vancouver the night before. It was a Saturday night. And it was just kind of somber at the rink that day because we'd lost the night before in overtime and a few guys got ripped in the morning. It was just something, you kind of got the sense something was going on, and we lost to Vancouver that night again in overtime. So, you know, the next day was an off day just to regroup from what had just happened. And honestly, I was sitting on the couch in our new house. Me and my wife had just moved into our new house probably 3 months earlier. She was making me breakfast, and we got a call from Ian White, who we're close with, and he said, yeah, we got traded to Calgary. And, you know, you don't think anything of it. He's like, I guess there's other guys involved, but we're not allowed to say anything. And honestly, when we were on the phone with them, you know, I had a call waiting from Toronto Maple Leafs offices, so you knew right there that something was happening. And it was Brian Burke on the other line saying that, you know, we've traded you to Calgary, and thanks for your services. You know, the standard call, and right there, it's your life's changed forever.
Yeah.
And you pick up and go. We were on an airplane, honestly, like 5 hours later, pack up a suitcase, and we played the next night here in Calgary. So it was quick. It was hard to wrap your head around everything, and you know, but it was an experience. And you know, looking back, it's probably one of the best things that's happened for my family. You know, we love it out here. This is our home now, and this is where we're gonna be.
With Matt Stajan, at that time, did you, because you were at the time when the trade happened, you were a free agent, pending free agent. It was about a week or 2 weeks after that you got here that you signed the extension. But were you kind of thinking that, okay, I'll probably play out the season in Calgary and then see what happens? Or were you expecting this to be a long-term home at the time?
Yeah, I really didn't know right away. But I'm pretty loyal. You know, I'm a loyal guy, and I don't think I was right then thinking, you know what, I'm just going to play 2 months in Calgary and then leave. You know, they've obviously put a lot of trust in making that trade, and you know, there's four of us that came, and Hagman was having a big season as well. He had 225 goal years, and Whitey was our best D in Toronto at the time. So, you know, I didn't know what to expect. I was just focusing on playing, you know, but pretty quickly, I think, you know, that, you know, talk started. I, you know, you just kind of felt that Calgary wanted you, and when you feel wanted after getting traded and seeing what it was like here in the city, you know, it was a no-brainer. We were in Canada, and I like playing in hockey market, so mm-hmm. it was just kind of a no-brainer, and it just kind of fell into place. It's you know, I wouldn't change anything. You know, as hard as, you know, maybe the first 2 years were here personally, I wouldn't change anything because I learned so much about how to approach, you know, life day to day.
So the trade happens, you come here, it is funny, you take a look at your numbers, that year is your career high in terms of points, you finished with 57 that year, you had a pretty decent point total with the Flames in that kind of third of a season you played here. But then it didn't, like, the narrative and the way things started for you in your first few years in Calgary, just it didn't go well. And I remember talking to you at the poker tournament maybe a year or two into your time here, and it was a struggle in terms of your usage, in terms of the performance, in terms of the outside narrative. And you never, at least from this standpoint, you never seemed to really let it get to you, and you were able to just keep on doing your job. But it didn't start the greatest here, did it?
Yeah, it was tough. I you know, the first year I thought I didn't play terrible. You know, I think just expectations came quickly. You know, I was coming off making 1.5 million expiring contract, had two, you know, 50 plus point seasons, and you know, the next year I got injured first preseason game. I separated my shoulder and I missed all of camp, and I came back three games into the season, and you know, and I'm expected to play with Jerome right away, and you know, and I thought, me and Jerome, I thought played well together when we played together, because I'm more of a passer, he's a shooter. But you know, it just, Brent never stuck with it, and you know, there's a lot of reasons. I you know, I probably could have played better. I should have played better. It's just the way, just things weren't working out. And the hard part there was, you know, you lose the trust of a coach in a certain situation, and that's what happened. Brent just kind of lost trust in my game, and for whatever reason, you know, I had to reinvent, you know, the way I approach things, and I didn't want to let it affect me. I just tried to, you know, I came up as being more defensively responsible. I got through junior that way, but you know, the offense started coming at the end of junior, and you know, we all want to be superstars, but I knew I had to adjust and be that more reliable player. And Brent basically said, you're playing on the fourth line, that's the way it is. And you know, who knows what was going on, and Darryl was on his way out, so it was kind of like a lot going on. I don't know who supports who, and you know, so all I could do was go to the rink and be a good teammate, work hard, and you know, control what you can. And that's what I try and tell everybody. You can't control everything else. You just control the way you play. You don't know who you're going to play with, or how much you're going to play, whether you're going to play. So
yeah,
that's the approach I took. And before Brent was gone, you know, the last half of that season, it kind of turned again, and he started using me more and playing me more and relied on me in the last half of his tenure here. You know, I played really well, and I kind of, you know, my game really rounded out, because I knew, you know, even if I wasn't scoring, that I could still contribute in different ways. And that's just the approach I started to have. It wasn't all about points and goals, and sometimes that's all you think about when you get a bigger contract, or when you're a young guy coming to the league. You know, it's important for sure, but if you can do the little things, even when you're not scoring, you're still, you know, you're still helping your team. You're not cheating the game. When you can do both, it's obviously best way possible, and those are the best players in the world. So that's just how it went. And then when Bob came in, he relied on me heavily, and you know, I played a checking line. You know, I kind of lost my power play opportunity for the rest of my career, you know, probably in 2011, but that's fine. And I embraced the role of playing that checking forward, and Bob used me against top lines every single game for 2 years. So that really, you know, showed support. And then, and then you just kind of keep going. And as the young guys came up, they get put into situations, and I just kind of fill in where need be. And, you know, I accept whatever role it's given, and that's been, you know, the fourth line center, and I embrace that, and that's important. If you can embrace a role and do the best with it, that's just what you try and do.
Matt Stajan's with us as he approaches 1,000 games in the NHL. When did you associate this city and say, this is where I want to make my home, and this is where I want to raise my family?
The first year was tough here, just because, you know, obviously hockey-wise wasn't going well, and you're new to a city. But after, you know, after a year here, it was, we loved the city. You know, there was a lot of moving parts with the team, and guys are going in and out. But, you know, I mean, us and the Giordanos are really close, and the Brodies, who have been here a long time, and Bax. And, you know, you kind of, you have these relationships, and you just, you go about your business. And we wanted to make a stamp in the community for sure, and we did that right away with Alberta Children's Hospital, and and we just loved it here. We started staying here in the summer, and then obviously when we went through our personal misfortune and went through, you know, the adversity of that, you know, the love we felt from the city was unbelievable, and you know, that just kind of put a stamp on, you know, that the city's, you know, something special, you know, not just in general, but especially for ourselves. And we want to make sure that, you know, we leave as much as we can here, and we're going to stay here. This is home.
It's that moment, the penalty shot in Edmonton, and it was right around the time, you know, you were going through your tragedy, and I just remember I can't remember an outpouring on Twitter quite like that, when you pointed up, and that was kind of, you know, one of the seminal moments of your time here. The outpouring that you got from this community, how much did that mean to you and Katie?
Yeah, it meant so much, more than I could even explain. I think when you're going through something like that, and you know, a lot of people go through things in their lives, you don't really know how to go about it. And every person is different, you know, what's best for them. Some people just don't want to talk about it. Some people, you know, they want to talk about it. Some people just kind of are only comfortable with certain people. And, you know, we just took the approach, you know, let's be open. This isn't easy. And, the immediate support we got from the city was incredible. And we got it through the whole hockey world for sure, but just within the city, it was very, you know, helpful. It helped us, in getting through it. And, you know, it really showed us that, you know, when people are going through something, you know, you need that. You need an outlet. And that was our outlet, the support of our family and friends and the city. And, you know, so going forward, we wanted to make sure we're a part of, you know, people who go through things like this in the future. And, you know, for sure was, you know, it was a big, as hard as the whole situation was, and, you know, it still affects us to this day. Mm-hmm. You know, it never gets easier, but, you know, it's something that's been a big, you know, probably the biggest part of our lives. And you know, just to kind of, you take a step back and just look at life and the world we live in, and that was probably the biggest moment for us.
Was that penalty shot goal you scored in Edmonton? Take me through. Now you've had a number of years to reflect on it. Just how meaningful was that, and the ability to be able to maybe pay tribute?
Yeah, and it kind of just happened. I was coming back, and I the first few practices and games when I came back after taking some time off, you know, you kind of feel off, and, you know, it's just natural. People don't know what to say to you, and so, you know, you play a few games, and, you know, you try and get back in the rhythm, and my teammates are great, and, you know, but that, I remember that day, you know, especially we were in Edmonton, and that morning, I remember Curtis Glencross going to me, he goes, "I got a feeling about tonight," and I was like, "Yeah, you know, I hope so," you know, just kind of, you know, we were just kind of getting through the season there at that point. We were basically done. And that day, just, you know, I couldn't nap. It was just a weird day. And you know, the game happened. And everything went right that night. Everything. And it started, I think, Cammy that night in warm-up walked on the ice, Camilleri, without his blades, and fell in warm-up. And, you know, so the room was really loose. And you know, even that penalty shot that I got, you know, it's a questionable call whether it should have been a penalty. The guy just kind of whacked my arm. I guess it is a penalty by the book, but you usually don't see that called. So,
yeah,
you know, it all happened. And you know, I've tried that move in practice a bunch of times. And I actually have tried it in a penalty shot earlier in my career, and it got stopped. I was like, you know what, what else do I got here? I shoot low stick, or I you know, make a move to my backhand. And I actually didn't get all of the shot. I was trying to go over the glove, and it went under the glove, and I was like, you know, this is meant to be. And it was just kind of surreal, and it was just natural, you know, to point up, and just kind of all happened. So it was, you know, that's definitely personally the most special moment of my career. And my parents were in Calgary at the time visiting, and, you know, so we flew home to that, and it was just unbelievable, and it just all kind of fell together. And I feel like a few things in my career have happened that way. Just things kind of fell together like it was meant to be. And that's why I believe so much in what I do and what my family does. Cause things just don't line up that way all the time. And they have, at times for myself.
Well, and a final thought, cause I know you got to get going, but would number two on that list be? I've asked you about it before, yeah. and it's a great story. But would number two be Game 6 against Vancouver?
Oh, definitely. That one, I think personally, you know, for my life and my family, for sure, the one in Edmonton was big. But hockey wise, you know, the importance and just that moment, you know, to be able to score and see this arena explode in Game 6.
Yeah.
That was, you know, that's right there. I can't even compare the two because the meaning of both are so different. But I can't even, you know, describe the feeling, of, you know, that I felt, you know, let alone, you know, the whole building felt. And yeah, I think I told you this. I probably did. But, like, I was actually not feeling very well that day. I think I had food poisoning or something. I was puking before the game, and it was, you know, but it's just another thing. You go out there and play. You try and play it a little safer that day and that game. You know, we're playing against the Sedins all series, so even that goal, I'm just trying to stay above, and you know, you see an opportunity where the puck's a rebound's getting kicked out, and you just jump on it, and the puck was rolling a little bit. You let it settle, and it caught the elbow of the net. You know, it's not like I can aim and pick that spot. You know, that's hockey. You shoot an area, and you know, things happen. So that was incredible, and yeah, those two goals for sure are the standouts of my career, and I've been very fortunate to. You know, to do them both with this organization that has been, you know, so great for us.
Congratulations on the milestone. I know there's a lot of people who I know that, you know, everybody in Flames Nation is just really happy to see you be able to do that and for you to get to that milestone. So congratulations. I know you've made a huge impact on so many Flames fans. It's funny, I was talking to somebody yesterday and they were saying, just make sure you tell him how much it means to us that he wears the pride tape in games. And you know, you've been taken, an entire community has taken notice of that and really latched onto it. So I know you've made a huge impact in this community, and you made a huge impact on this team. So congratulations, and thank you so much for doing this today.
Well, thanks for having me, and you know, I'm you know, for me, my wife, you know, we're just so thankful for the city, and you know, we've always just kind of gone about things, treat people the way you want to be treated, and you know, be a good person, and you know, I think in Calgary you see that more than ever. You know, there's a lot of selflessness here, and I think we should all be very, very happy and you know, realize how fortunate we are to live in such a great city, because we, you know, this is, you know, probably the best place I've seen, you know, in North America, and I've seen quite a bit. So yeah. Thank you to all the people here.
Thank you, Matt.
Yep.